Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Your favorite hour of the day is finally here. Coming to you live here on WKAR AM 870 1051 FM. You are now tuned into WKAR's current sports, and we finally hit it, right? Friday is right now, October 19th, 2018, and we are 23 hours away. 23 hours away from the big game between Michigan State and Michigan as the Wolverines travel to Spartan Stadium. All the talk is about to be put to bed, and we are finally just going to be able to watch this game, because I tell you what, I'm just tired of the back and forth now. And I said this, right? I said at the beginning of the week it was going to be all fine, and it's like a train. It was just going to pick up as the week rolled along. And lo and behold, now as we embark now on the eve of Michigan and Michigan State, the trash talk has leveled up. You know, I saw Jabril Peppers and Devin Gardner. I knew it wasn't going to be any current players. Jim Harbaugh and his team knows that, look, they're basically having mentality, let's go out here, handle business, and try to get the dub. I knew it was not going to be a current player on the Michigan football roster. I knew it wasn't going to be the coaches. I mean, Jim Harbaugh's pressures basically put you to sleep. But I knew that at least one former Michigan Wolverine was going to pop off and call MSU little brother. And Devin Gardner, former quarterback of the Wolverines, and Jabril Peppers, former defensive specialist for the Maize and Blue, they have popped off and called MSU little brother. And I'm getting to a point now where it's like, let's just line it up, line the players up, and just play this game. You know, we've exhausted all talk, I feel like, here on Current Sports, talking and previewing this game. And, you know, we had the three-year anniversary of the trouble with the snap game, in which Jalen Watch Jackson became a Michigan State legend. That occurred earlier this week, and we shared memories on where we were during that moment. Today, we will have, and we played a throwback smack-off talk between former Michigan State safety Otis Wiley and former Michigan linebacker Alan Gant. That was a really cool segment that we had last year, and we couldn't have Alan on for a second annual smack-off talk with Otis. Now, Otis totally down, but Alan can't because he's a member of Jim Harbaugh's coaching staff now, so that wouldn't go over well with Jim Harbaugh. I'm sure if Alan did that segment, he would probably lose his job. All right, I'm not trying to have the brother unemployed, okay? So what we're going to do is actually have Otis with us live on today's Current Sports. And Otis, you know, a former player under Coach D'Antonio, I really want to pick Otis's brain on what the preparation for this game is like from a player standpoint. What does Coach D say in the locker room? You know, what is that chatter like amongst teammates? Do you read the newspaper? Do you follow what's happening on Twitter and the trash talk going back and forth there? So we'll kind of get that firsthand perspective from Otis Wiley. You don't want to miss that. And we'll also have to take a break, a small break from the whole rivalry talk. We'll have Kenneth Vaughn on the show, former assistant director of annual giving here at Michigan State University, now director of development at Ohio State University. And he'll talk about what it's like, you know, reaching out to alum and donors to give to Michigan State and what kind of impact that has had at Michigan State. And I'm curious to get his thoughts on how that impacted his job when it comes to Michigan State's drama from last year with Larry Nassar and all of the ESPN reports and how that affected giving from an alum standpoint here at Michigan State University. And then we'll wrap the show up with our final predictions on the big game. And I want to know what your final prediction is on the big game. University of Michigan, Michigan State, who wins by how much? Who will hold bragging rights for at least another year? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also watch our live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can weigh in on Twitter. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your quick hit headliners. All right, again, happy Friday to you all. The biggest football game in the state of Michigan kicks off tomorrow afternoon at Spartan Stadium. Number 6 Michigan travels to East Lansing to take on number 24 Michigan State. Both teams fresh off wins last weekend, and this is the first ranked matchup between the two in 3 years since 2015, and that fumble with the snap game, right? MSU holds the edge in this rivalry over the last 10 years, winning 8 of the last 10 in this matchup. A win for Michigan would keep their playoff chances alive, while an MSU win would be Mark D'Antonio's 11th win over a top 10 team. Pretty remarkable, right? Kickoff scheduled for 12:05 p.m. tomorrow. Michigan currently favored by 7.5 points. Joe Klatt and Gus Johnson will have the call. All right, while both coaches talked about the sportsmanship in the rivalry this week, that hasn't stopped fans of both teams from poking a little fun at each other. Early Tuesday morning, the sidewalk near the Sparty statue on Michigan State University's campus was spray-painted blue in the form of an M. East Lansing authorities say the investigation is open and ongoing. That's like if you can't get to Sparty, why even do something like that, right? It's like, oh, I can't get to Sparty because shout out to the Michigan State students here who have been guarding Sparty throughout the week to make sure no shenanigans take place. But if you can't get to Sparty, I mean, spray painting the sidewalk, come on, man. That's just whack. All right. I saw that some Michigan State students or fans, whoever, actually spray painted the Michigan Diag earlier this week. So things are getting ugly. Point blank, period. This rivalry is an ugly one. It isn't a fun one, and things like this happen. All right, and I mentioned Devin Gardner and Jabril Peppers. They're throwing out the little brother slogan that Michigan State fans hate. So, yeah, at this point, I'm just ready to line up the players and just play. All right, I'm ready to watch the game now. All right, Michigan State women's soccer. They battled number 23 Rutgers to the very end in a 1-0 double OT loss on senior night at DeMartin Stadium yesterday. The Scarlet Knights scored the golden goal game winner with just 31 seconds left on the clock to escape with the victory and stay in the race for a share of the conference championship. The Hard Luck Spartans fall to 5-8-3, 0-7-2 in conference play with the loss. Their sixth straight Big Ten defeat by a single goal. The Spartans now travel, yeah, you guessed it, to Michigan for the rivalry matchup of the regular season on Sunday. Kickoff scheduled for 2 p.m. from U of M Soccer Stadium. When it comes to the Michigan State men's soccer team, They are ranked 13th in the nation, and they will return to action tonight at 7 p.m. against Northwestern. The Spartans have had a week off after defeating Ohio State on the road 2-1 on October 12th. Prior to the game, Michigan State will honor its 10 seniors who reached the Elite Eight last year. Graduating seniors include heavy hitters DeJuan Jones and Ryan Sierakowski. Overall, Michigan State is 10-2-2 and 4-1-0 in Big Ten play. Northwestern 4-7-4 on the season, 0-4-2 in the conference. Michigan State women's volleyball continues a four-match road swing with a game today at Northwestern and Saturday against number 7 Illinois. Both matches will have a live broadcast on BTN to go. The Spartans split last weekend's Big Ten action, winning a five-set battle at Maryland on Friday before falling to Ohio State on Sunday afternoon, 3-0. It is the third straight Big Ten split for MSU this season. Kathy George's squad owns a 40-34 edge in the all-time series against the Northwestern Wildcats, including four straight dubs. This will be the only meeting of the teams this year. All right, in week 9, can you believe that? Final week of regular season local high school football. Mind-blowing. The selection show will take place on Sunday, courtesy of Fox Sports Detroit, with a few local games to check out. Tonight, again, the final night of regular season local high school football. Holt on the road at Grand Ledge. Lansing Sexton at Lansing Everett. DeWitt at Lansing Waverly. East Lansing at Okemos. Fowlerville at Corunna. Marshall at Hazlitt. Lansing Eastern at Lansing Catholic. Eden Rapids at Mason. Lakewood at Ionia. And Fowler at Merrill. The Detroit Red Wings still winless. Yeah, the Wing will. They stretched that losing streak to 7 last night as they lost 3-1 to the Tampa Bay Lightning on the road. The Lightning were on the board first before Luke Glendening tied the game up for the Red Wings. Tampa would add a goal in the second, plus another with a minute remaining to win 3-1. The Wings will now head to Miami to play the Florida Panthers tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And the Detroit Pistons, the NBA season is well underway now. And the undefeated, I wonder how long we'll be able to say that. Undefeated Detroit Pistons. They aren't in action tonight, but they will play tomorrow night at 8 p.m. against the Chicago Bulls in the United Center. Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond combined for 50 points in Detroit's 103-100 win on Wednesday night, season opening win for the Pistons, and they travel to face a Bulls team that lost to Philadelphia their last time out. The Detroit Lions are headed to Miami this weekend to face a Dolphins team that just beat NFC North rival Chicago in overtime a week ago. How fun was that game? Miami heads into this game 4-2, and Detroit comes off a bye week at 2-3, ready to continue to compete in the NFC North. Dolphins quarterback Ryan Tannehill is ruled out for Sunday. Brock Osweiler will be making his second straight start for the Fins. Kickoff for Matthew Stafford and company is scheduled for 1 p.m. on Sunday. Detroit is favored by 3 points, and you can catch that game on Fox. And last but certainly not least, the Bo Sox. That's right, the Boston Red Sox are the first team to make this year's Fall Classic in the World Series after beating Houston 4-1 last night. Boston's pitchers held the Houston Astros to just 5 hits, and the Red Sox third baseman Rafael Devers continued his surprising postseason with a 3-run home run. The National League Series continues tonight as the L.A. Dodgers have a shot to wrap that series up. And also, that was also an intriguing game for Detroit Tigers fans last night because you saw two former Detroit Tigers pitchers go at it in David Price, who got the best of Justin Verlander. Can you believe? It's hard to believe. You have to feel some type of way if you're a Detroit Tigers fan and you're watching two pitchers in Verlander and Price go at it in the championship series and knowing that you had both of those players on your roster at one point. That's got to sting. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, call in to be a part of the show. We are taking final thoughts and predictions on the big game. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Wolverines or Spartans? You can also weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News and tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me at Al Martin WKAR.
Thought it was funny. Another got excited. It's good. You know, sometimes you get your little brother excited when you're playing basketball and stuff. Let him get the lead. And then you just come back and take it back.
Remember, pride comes before the fall.
Anything specific?
Just hear, pride comes before the fall.
Last play of the game.
Well, he's not going to run Duckett.
They're going to set him out.
Might be quarterback draw. That's what you wonder. Will they get the quarterback draw?
They spread the defense. Here's Smoker looking for it.
Devon Ringer bounces off the pile. He has 4-3 speed. They do have an angle on him, but it's a defensive lineman, Graham, who won't catch him. Touchdown, Michigan State, 64 yards.
Third down, Forcier to the end zone. Oh, and it's intercepted on the deflection. Chris L. Rucker on the interception.
They only need three to win. Caper cutting it back. Caper breaks the tackle. Got a first down to the house. Touchdown. Michigan State has won.
Here 2 years ago was their first win here since 1990. Consecutive trips to Ann Arbor, leading by a touchdown in the third quarter. Cousins has single coverage out there. Caught for a touchdown by Mark Dowell. He got behind that true freshman, Cullen Christian.
Off Robinson.
Fakes it. He's looking to throw the football, and down he goes. And Michigan State takes over on downs. Johnny Adams made the play for Sparty.
They've been getting success with pressure all day.
They pass Chris Spielman, Urban Meyer, Quinn Kesnick on the field. Here is a blitz. And Robinson throws a pick. Intercepted by Isaiah Lewis to the house. Touchdown, Spartans.
Gardner in trouble. Down he goes again. Fifth sack of the first half. First time that not to give up one here. Second and 15. Throw is intercepted. They won't give up one there either. Darquez Jannar.
Intensity has never wavered when he talks about this rivalry. Look at the catch. They say he was in bounds the entire way. Touchdown, Michigan State. 70 yards from Connor Cook.
The penalty. Lewerke running out of time again, escapes and heads toward the end zone, diving. Touchdown, Spartans.
Peoples Jones has height at the top.
O'Dorn rolling, launching for the end zone in traffic. Incomplete. Game over. Michigan State wins it in the big house.
That's great stuff, isn't it? Connor Mathis, shout out to Connor, engineer for this Friday version of WKAR's Current Sports. And Connor, we just talked as that montage was playing. You went from, you started at 2001.
Yep.
And just cut every winning Michigan State soundbite from that year up until 2018, right?
Yep.
That's great stuff, man. I heard Clock Gate in there, right? Shout out to Todd, formerly known as TJ Duckett. I mean, how can you forget that one, right? I remember we had Todd Duckett on one year to kind of reminisce on that moment in that game. And, you know, his mom had just passed not too long before that. And, you know, he just started bawling in tears in the locker room after catching that game-winning touchdown. And he started crying live on the air. And he still gets emotional when discussing that moment. Also, Larry Caper in that game-winning TD against Michigan in 09, I heard. The trouble with the snap game. I mean, there's so many legendary wins for the Spartans in this series. And you talk about Mark D'Antonio's success. I brought up some numbers yesterday. I mean, Coach D is 8-3 in 11 games when going against the Wolverines. Pretty impressive stuff. And he's 11-0 against the spread. So we'll see what happens. You know, for those that are choosing Michigan to win, you know, Michigan right now is a touchdown favorite. Touchdown and a hook. And, you know, you look at that spread and you look at how well Michigan played against Wisconsin. I understand why the national media, and why not even just the national media. I've talked to a few. They'll remain nameless right now. But I've talked to a few Spartan fans who have said, look, Al, I don't know about this year. Great win against Penn State, but the injury problems scare me. Brian Lewerke's decision-making scares me. I don't know. I'm going with Michigan in this game. You know, I've talked to a few Spartan fans who lean that way, and I get it. I understand. I understand why the majority of people are choosing the maize and blue to win this one. You know, I don't think I've seen one media member, local or national, actually choose Michigan State to win this game. But that's when Mark D'Antonio thrives. He loves being the underdog. He loves when the cards are stacked against his team. He loves to prove people wrong. So I want to hear from you. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. This is your opportunity to finally get one last jab here live on the air on the opposition, whether you're a Michigan fan or a Michigan State fan. I want to hear a score prediction from you guys. And the comments are rolling in right now on our Facebook page as well at facebook.com/WKAR News. And, you know, this is a rivalry. You know, kind of I've really gotten to a point, again, as I keep stating, let's just play the game now. You know, I get frustrated to a certain standpoint when you just keep hearing the same old things, because the trash talk really ramps up on like Wednesday. And the trash talk becomes so repetitive in the, you know, little brother and, you know, Michigan State fans will say, well, your little sister then, and this back and forth, and then the painting, which, again, that's so idiotic to me. You're going to paint the sidewalk if you can't get to Sparty. Oh, well, let's just paint the sidewalk with a blue M. Like, it just gets so ridiculous at times. It's just like, line them up and play now. And then I saw, you know, Jabril Peppers and his tweet, which reads, at 1:02 p.m., so right when we got on the airwaves yesterday, Jabril Peppers tweeted, quote, y'all know what week it is. And I say that because he put is, I-S-S-S-S-S-S, and then he had, like, he has the emoji of the emoji just having his lips like zipped. Then he's got the emoji with a tissue over his nose and the emoji where he's got steam coming out of his nose. So those are the three emojis that he chose. Then he says, hashtag beat lil bro, hashtag beat state. And then he has a video that he tagged as well, 15-second video of when he, you know, picked off the two-point conversion try in 2016 and took that one to the house. So there you have that. That was the 3-9 year for Michigan State. So much trash talk. And now we are just under 24 4 hours from this game, from kickoff. And I'll give you an early prediction here. You know, Connor, I've gone back and forth with this. And the easy choice is Michigan, right? I mean, Michigan is a team that is humming right now. Let's be real. They've looked good. Michigan has looked good. You cannot deny that. Shea Patterson is the best quarterback that Jim Harbaugh has had throughout his tenure as the head coach out there in Ann Arbor. Shea Patterson has seemed to improve since that loss to Notre Dame. That Michigan defense is one of the best defenses in the nation, led by Don Brown. They are so quick laterally. I love Chase Winovich. He wreaks havoc when it comes to opposing quarterbacks in the backfield. Caron Higdon is putting together a pretty impressive season as the starting running back for the Michigan Wolverines. I say all that to say, I'm going to choose Michigan State in this game, in a close one. I usually go with, you know, the favorite team. But I just think that that Penn State game, I keep thinking about that. And I feel like that was really a game changer for the Michigan State Spartans for so many different reasons. But and I bring up those numbers, you know, Mark D'Antonio being 8-3 against the Wolverines. I bring up 11-0 against the spread. Something happens to Mark D'Antonio and the Michigan State Spartans when they play the Michigan Wolverines. You can never count them out. And the fact that it's going to be at home, you know, you're riding high and you got some kind of momentum coming off that Penn State win. I just have a feeling because I feel like I've seen this story before. Michigan looking good, at least during the first part of the season, and you come and play the Michigan State Spartans and you're highly favored. You're a top 10 ranked team. Everybody's praising Jim Harbaugh. The national media is you know, bowing down at his feet. And then Mark D'Antonio says, psych, we're Michigan State, and I own you. I feel like Michigan State is going to find a way in this game. Real quick, before we do have Otis, we'll get on for a few minutes here. Thoughts on that, Connor?
I agree with you. I think they're going to find a way to win it. I think coming off of Penn State, if they would have lost, I think even if they would have lost that game,
I would have chose Michigan.
I don't know. I still think even if they lost that game, I still think I would pick Michigan State because again, it puts D'Antonio into that everyone's counting us out kind of mentality. But I mean, I'm still taking them. I think the key is they got to play it like they play Penn State. You got to keep the game slow scoring. Don't necessarily let it get into like an offense versus offense. Keep the score contained and then just, you know, make something happen as the game goes on.
I hear you. But again, that Penn State game, was something happened there. Something happened. This team found its swag against Penn State. And if they would have lost to Penn State, I would not be choosing the Spartans right now. I mean, they would have been dead in the water. You lost to Northwestern, you know, you lost to Arizona State earlier in the year, and then you lose to Penn State in Happy Valley. I just wouldn't know what I could harp on to make my argument one that is in some way bulletproof if you lose to Penn State. So, but Michigan State is going to have to do some things if they want to beat the Wolverines. All right, what I want to do right now, because we are behind schedule, let's go to our phone lines right now because we do have Otis Wiley, former MSU football safety, who now joins us on the show. First off, Otis, happy rivalry week, my man. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Always good to hear from you, Otis. Otis, you know, you being a former player at Michigan State for the Michigan State football team, a former safety. I just want to, can you take our listeners and take me through what this week is like in preparation for this big game?
Yeah, you know, Al, it's every year we do this, you know, we have this on the clock the whole year. Like, you know, obviously we have a separate clock that goes to all our other opponents, but you know, Michigan week is, you know, we have to win the state battle. We have to win the state every year. And so preparing for this, you know, it's like any other week, but it's one of those that this means a lot more to make sure that everyone that we do or everything that we do mm-hmm. leads up to this game. So, I mean, it's one of those things like Coach D literally talks to the team, keeps us down. You know, when you know, it's what keeps us humble. You know, not being able to, you know, go to the media and talk trash. You know, stay within the program. And then, as you know, his saying is, "We'll let the lines out." You know, we'll let the lines out.
Yeah.
Once we come out that tunnel and ready to hit him in the mouth. So, I mean, it's one of those, like I said, it's expectations. The anticipation is always surreal, but once you get to, you know, hitting the first hit, it's on and popping, man.
Otis, you know, you played at Michigan State from 2005 to 2008, right?
Correct, yep.
And you played 1 year. Was it 1 year under Coach D?
Two years
under Coach D. First off, what is your record against the Wolverines when you play going back then?
I'm 1-3. So we won my senior year in the Big House. And but you think about the ones like I was watching Desmond Howard talk about this game today. On
oh my gosh, Desmond Howard! Yeah. I'm sorry, dude. Desmond runs me to wrong. You know, yeah. I got a real quick. Otis, I got a funny Desmond Howard story. When I was at Channel 6, you know, the College Game Day, they were coming in town for the big game, and this was like when I was an intern at Channel 6 at the time in college, and Fred Heumann, the sports director at Channel 6, was like, "Well, Al, you know, they're having, you know, the College Game Day crew." Is being made available to the media. Do you want to go out there and interview him? I'm like, oh, man, Desmond Howard. Yeah, Desmond seems awesome, man. He seems like a great guy. He's funny on the air. And Fred looked at me and said, that's all the show, Al. And I said, no, stop it, Fred. And I went, and let's just say it was one of the worst interviews I've ever had in life. Desmond just came off as a total prick. I'm just going to keep it real, man. So, yeah, I hear you. Yeah, but, yeah, Desmond Howard,
feel,
yeah.
You feel like it's like every time he opens his mouth, it's like, man, come on, man. So
right.
He legit talked about how the past 5 years, you know, or five games against, you know, Ohio State, Michigan combined, you know, it was all fluke plays or last-minute things where, you know, JT Barrett goes to the line, and you know, if anyone else was watching this, you know, he didn't get the first down, and then us on the fumble punt. It's like, just take ownership, you know, just take ownership that we won the game. But you know, hindsight, in hindsight, you know, it's one of, like I said, Desmond, like any other those former players, man, it's this means more to us, and they always can say that. But you know, we have a team that we're battling with injuries right now, and so. For us to rally the troops around that and still do what we're doing right now is phenomenal. And so I think right now, you know, Lewerke has to win on the ground. Al, you know, he has to get at least 75 yards because he's our running game right now. So, you know, if we can control that and then also control Shea Patterson with that pocket and make sure he, you know, has got to throw the ball and not run on us on all those third down and longs, you know, if we get three and outs, you know the ball game. And so it's ours to take, so.
Otis, what would Coach D'Antonio say to you all this week? You know, you played 2 years under him. What was the message? I mean, you kind of mentioned he would say, all right, don't give Michigan any bulletin board material, right? Keep it classy. But what behind closed doors, can you give us just kind of some inside, you know, just paint the picture from an insider perspective as to what Coach D'Antonio would say to you guys and what was the chatter amongst you all as players concerning the Wolverines in that game?
Well, I know that, you know, that first year, Coach D, it was the little brother year, so,
right.
You know, obviously that put fuel to the fire. And so,
Coach where D, were you when you heard Michael Hart's comments? Where were you?
Oh, I think I was, once we lost that game, and look, I remember that to this day, man, that he picked up that fumble. I thought we were like, that was sealing a deal. He picks up that fumble and runs to get a first down, and I remember that like that was yesterday. And so I was after the game, I literally was walking to my dorm or to my apartment and saw kind of tweets and stuff or, you know, posts. And I'm like, oh, man, like that just hurts.
right.
Like, that legit hurt. And because we had that game, man, the past two games or those two games of my career, we were winning the game and they came back and lost. So, like, I don't make excuses. We lost the game, you know, but, you know, like I was saying, Desmond Howard makes excuses like, oh, we lost on flukes. No, we lost because they beat us, you know, single-handedly. But Coach D is playing that making sure that that does not get out of the memories of the current players and say what we had to deal with when we got here and how we turned the tide. He's consistently reminding them, like, never forget. And every year, every game we play, it's all the chips are on the table. It's calling it all in. You know, whoever's injured, they have to play this game. It's one of those things, like, give it all you got, because it's, you know, this really trajectory what puts our season at the trajectory we want to still accomplish big goals. So This is a huge game. We win it, we got to go in and play Ohio State. And if we get that, we can go to, you know, come to Indy and get a Big Ten championship game. You know, it's like, that's on the table right now.
So, Onis, you just said something interesting. You said who's ever injured, they have to play in this game. So does that mean we're going to see LJ Scott?
Look, man. I feel like, well, this is deja vu, man. We talked about this guy. I think it was last year, right?
Last season. We did. It is deja vu.
You know? So, look, I love the guy. I just don't understand what's going on mentally. And I mean, I'm not, you know, anything in the program, they know what's in the program. They know what's going on. But outside looking in, you know, I was at the Arizona State game, and I saw, you know, he tweaked his ankle and didn't see the field after that. And so I'm thinking maybe, okay,
he is hurt. You know, he just didn't get hurt, but then you see these other stuff happening, and that's out of the program and out of character. And I'm like, what is going on right now? Mm-hmm. So we were just talking about this yesterday with a former player, and it was like, do you remember him saying, hey, I'm going to stay to win a national championship, you know, and not go to the NFL. And right then and there, I was like, okay, I like that. I like that decision. But now I'm like, what is going on? He's going backwards. Because we need him. I mean, this guy's a good running back, and you know it. But I don't see him playing tomorrow.
All right, Otis, before I get your score prediction and get you out of here, I also want to ask, because I know, and I've heard some things just being out in the field and covering this game the last few years, there are some personal things that are said in this game between both teams, the Wolverines and the Spartans, to try and play this mental. It's the game within the game. This mental battle. Can you get under the skin of the opposition? And it gets heated out there. I want to know, Otis. And again, FCC compliant, of course. What's the nastiest thing that you've said or heard on the football field as a player who played in this rivalry matchup?
I don't know if it was anything nasty. It was more so like the extracurricular activities that happen after the snap that you know, it could be, you know, I remember tackling Mike Hart and I'm on the ground and all I hear is kind of some elephant foot, like footsteps, like just stomping the ground, running. And all of a sudden I feel my wrist under the foot of Jake Long as he's running to, like, doing a non-necessary hit or block. And right then and there on my wrist, I hear kind of a little snap, and I'm like, oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
And mind you, this is like sophomore year. John, it was last year where we weren't winning. We were competing, but we weren't in the game at the big house. And so I just remember that, man. And then just the sense of, you know, I hate when they won the game against us and we missed a few field goals, and they won in that last second back in Spartan Stadium 2017 year. Mm-hmm. And I remember them running in the tunnel, and they were singing that Michigan Man song. And that right there just
– Yeah.
That gets my blood boiling, man. So
I can imagine. I can only imagine, brother. Oh, my goodness. All right, Otis, I know where you're leaning. I know you're going to choose the Spartans. Can you give us a score prediction on the game?
Yes, I got a 24-21 Spartans taking it. It's always going to be close, but battle. You know, that's in our DNA. You know, we like it tough. We like it long and hard. But it's one of those things, man. We got to. It's the inches, game of inches. So 24-21, the Spartans taking it, man.
All right, the one, the only Flint Town's own Otis Wiley, who played at Michigan State from 05 to 08. And Otis, we'll definitely have to get you back at some point next week to kind of recap whatever happens come Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, man, that's how we was boys, man. I ain't getting no calls this summer. This season,
right? I know we need to really start to make you a regular on the show. We've talked about that way too often. It needs to happen. All right, bro.
All good, man. Hey, appreciate your work, man, and keep it going. I'll see you Saturday, brother.
You got it. And you know what? Before we get you out of here, Otis, as well, I'm getting a text from our next guest, Ken Vaughn, who you know, right, from Flint Town.
Yeah.
Ken is on right after you, and he says, "What's up, Otis?" All right, just want to relay that message.
That's my dog, Ken Doggy.
All right, Otis Wiley, thanks so much, brother.
All right, man. Peace out.
All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will hear from Ken Vaughn. And we'll also get Ken's thoughts on, of course, the big rivalry matchup, seeing as though he is an MSU alum, but he is the former assistant director of annual giving for Michigan State, now director of development at Ohio State University. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Man, Connor, you just took me back with that one, man. In the Club by 50 Cent. Dude, that was when this came out, 50 was supposed to be like the second coming of Tupac. That's what everybody thought, man. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a chat with Flint's own Otis Wiley, former Michigan State safety, who played 2 years under Mark D'Antonio. 05 to 08 is when Otis played, and he just shared some thoughts and memories on what it's like the week of the big rivalry matchup, Michigan State and Michigan, and shared some cool stories when it comes to his time playing on the gridiron in this game. And, you know, also, I also want to note this. I'm getting some comments, a lot of comments, on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. And I want to give a big shout out to Ben, who is playing weatherman right now. It is scheduled to rain tomorrow. Now, not like last year's typhoon, which, let's be real here. Can we keep it all the way 100, Connor? Can we do that?
Sure.
The rain helped Michigan State a lot last year.
Oh, it did.
They scored early, so they didn't have to score at all in the second half. Michigan's offense, which wasn't a great offense, got totally depleted due to the rain. They had to put it on the ground, made their offensive game plan very vanilla and predictable. It helped them, dude. Come on. Now, Jack is... Stop it, man. You're putting on your green and white goggles here. If Michigan State didn't score early, that game may have been very different in that second half.
Al, it was 14-3 in the dry weather. I would give John O'Korn in dry weather as many drives as you'd like against Spartan D.
He
would have never scored. He would have never scored in the dry weather.
I'm talking about from a Michigan State offensive standpoint. The fact that they score early, that helped them out tremendously in that game. All right, I'm just saying. We got to get to Ken. I don't want to waste more time on the weather. I'm just saying. I'm just making a point here. All right, I don't think anybody who can watch that game and legitimately say, all right, the weather did help Michigan State out and argue otherwise. It's supposed to rain tomorrow, but light rain. All right, nothing crazy. So those who are attending, bring an umbrella, but you won't need it probably for the whole game. All right, and also Ben comments, he actually hopped in my DMs, and I want to note this. The Michigan State and Michigan rugby game is tonight at 7 p.m. at Cooley Law School Stadium. Gates open at 5 p.m. They have little kids playing a rugby scrimmage during halftime of that game. So that's a cool way to honor the rivalry as well. All right, let's go to our phone lines again. It's like a Flint Town show today because Ken Vaughn now joins us, former assistant director of annual giving for Michigan State, now director of development at Ohio State University. Ken, how are things out in Columbus, my man?
Al, man, things are good here in Columbus, man. I can't complain.
Always good hearing from you, dude. And before we dive into your transition from East Lansing to Columbus, Ohio, working now at Ohio State, I want to give you kind of the forum to voice your thoughts, you being an MSU alum and working here at Michigan State after you graduated. What's this week been like for you? A lot of trash talk among your friends who are maybe fans of the Maize and Blue?
You know, Al, it's interesting, man. As time has gone on, I honestly only have debates with those who actually graduated from Michigan. No longer do I have a debate with somebody who graduated from another school or from U of M Flint or, you know, whatever. It's no more of that. I have to have conversations with those who actually experienced the campus life of Ann Arbor and things like that. So it's been okay. But I enjoy it. You know, this is that time, man, where you truly enjoy this rivalry. People talk as much crap as they want to, but at the end of the day, it's two Michigan schools going against each other and, you know, really just trying to state the claim. And Paul Bunyan has some stock at Michigan State. The rent is too high in Ann Arbor. So, you know, we're happy that we're keeping them around, and it doesn't look like we're calling the moving trucks anytime soon. So,
yeah, well, I tell you what, you know, that's something that Michigan State fans, that's the jab they take, right? I mean, hey, you know, you're a Walmart Wolverine. Because let's be real, there's a lot of Michigan fans in the Detroit area, I'm sure in the Flint area as well, Ken, that never went to U of M, and they talk. Those are the biggest trash talkers, aren't they?
They are.
It's crazy.
They are.
It's crazy, man. All right, I want you to talk about, you know, your transition now. From Michigan State to Ohio State, because I remember we had you on Current Sports TV, and mm-hmm. you know you were talking about your job as the former assistant director of annual giving for Michigan State University. Ken, how did you get into that field of work, and what happened that allowed you to now work at Ohio State University?
Yeah, so actually I was assistant director of development for, I worked in the College of Ag and Natural Resources, so mm-hmm. I didn't do too much with the annual giving side of things. I really focused on major gifts. And it's interesting because as a Big Ten university, we get a chance to collaborate with other schools outside of the Big Ten, but also within. So any agricultural school or land-grant institution like Ohio State or Penn State, we pretty much work collaboratively because sometimes you may have an undergraduate degree at Michigan State and have a graduate degree at, you know, another institution. And that kind of, you know, led me to this area because I was, you know, sought after. So just because of the work that I've done with the Big Ten Ag Alumni Reception each year in D.C. and a program that we have called NADAS, the National Agriculture Alumni Development Association, where all land-grant institutions and ag schools across the country get together and share ideas. So, you know, connecting on those different levels, you know, when you're, you know, reaching out and you're being collaborative, you know, a lot of people pick up on that. And I was fortunate enough to have someone at Ohio State think of me when they were hiring for this position. And it's been great, man. I've been here a little over a month now, so brand new to the Columbus area, but it's exciting, man. I'm excited, but it's also good because unlike the other school that we're talking about today, they welcome me with open arms. You know, they have so much respect for Michigan State, not only as, you know, as sports goes, but also for this land grant mission that we all believe in. So it was pretty interesting. It took a lot to get me over there, but, you know, It was actually a no-brainer, man, and I'll always bleed green. I told them already. They said November 10th, when that happens, you know, who am I going for? And my clothes are all set up, all green and white.
I love it. I love it, Ken. You got to stay true to MSU all day, brother. And you know what? When I went, because I went to the Michigan State and Ohio State game as a fan last year, and, you know, I rocked my green and white. I was sitting at Ohio Stadium, and, you know, the fans, surprisingly, they were really nice. Because I feel like there's this thought process out there, you know, if you are a Michigan State fan, it's like, all right, as long as you don't wear the maize and blue, as long as you don't come from that other school, because that's their big rival out there, just like mm-hmm. ours, we have a common enemy, right?
Absolutely.
That's how it is, man.
Absolutely.
That's how it is,
you know,
bro.
I was listening in earlier, and they were playing the clips of, you know, the wins and everything like that. And I think one of the things that I think about all the time is when Mark D'Antonio said the pride comes before the fall. And, you know, that's something that we can relate with a lot in life, period. But with this game, that's definitely it, man. We got so many Michigan fans that talk crap all day, every day. We could be minding our business, and then the next thing you know, we hear some Michigan fans talking crap about us, and then, you know, they want to talk about how many wins they've had back in the day when they wore leather helmets and no shoulder pads. But, you know, right now we're dominating, you know, and you can't sleep on Michigan State. You know, Penn State thought they could sleep on us this year, and we see what happens. So, you know, it's going to be a hard-fought game. And, you know, Otis, you had Otis on the show a little bit ago. Mm-hmm. That senior year of Otis, I actually was in the student section of Michigan, student section with my Michigan State gear on that game that we won, and it was absolutely amazing, the best feeling of my life. And, you know, it's just that's the feeling that you get when you play Michigan. You know, you get that fired up feel, and at the end of the day, win, lose, or draw, we'll still be Spartans, you know, and those Michigan fans, they'll kind of, you know, keep the tag on their shirts and send it back to Walmart. But we got this forever, man.
I love the digs, Ken. And you know what? But before I get, because I want to get your final score prediction on this game in just a moment. But I also want to just shift gears just briefly here and talk about your time at Michigan State. Because I have to ask, Ken, when you were, you know, in a position that you were in here at Michigan State, I mean, you're mingling with a lot of big names, a lot of big donors, a lot of big alumni. And I'm curious, what was the overall reaction from those who, you know, you had built these connections with, who have a big stake financially at Michigan State University, who are alum? What was their reaction to everything that went down last year as it pertains to the whole Larry Nassar situation and then the ESPN reports surrounding and really attacking the football and the basketball programs here? What were those conversations like that you would have with those people?
Understood, yeah. So it was a time to listen. You know, I feel like oftentimes in the past, like, that's been our biggest problem, is that we don't listen to people. And so a lot of these folks just wanted to vent, you know, and at the end of the day, that's kind of what differentiates us from other institutions. Like, our people care. You know, a lot of times we were getting phone calls and they were checking on us because they know that we're frontline. We're connecting with people who may have complaints, who may have, you know, some things to talk about. And, you know, they would call and make sure that we were okay. You know, so that was reassuring, that to know that we have an alumni base like that. But we did get people who were upset, who were disappointed, you know, at decision making and things like that. But it's so easy for people to, you know, act off a raw emotion, you know. So we just had to give them some time. You know, we had to sit there and listen, and we had to continue to be an advocate for the university, but understand that we can't dismiss what has happened to people, you know, what happened to those victims, what happened to, you know, anybody who was involved. You know, we have to be sensitive to that, because at the end of the day, we have to hold that empathetic spirit. You know, we have to be there for one another and care about each other. When we were kids, we learned the most valuable lesson in life, and that was treat others the way that you'd like to be treated. And so if you want somebody to listen to you, you want somebody to take you serious about situations, you need to actually listen as well. So, you know, I just did my due diligence by listening to our alumni base, our donors, the people who, you know, who really matter in this situation would, you know, have some positive things to say. And that was reassuring, like I said. So it was rough. You know, it was tough. It kind of made our jobs a little bit more hectic. But, you know, we have such an affinity for this place that we stuck around. We listened to what people were saying. We offer our advice and our help. And, you know, as the time goes on, Michigan State will get stronger and stronger, and it's continuing to do so. So,
very well said, Ken. Again, we're chatting with Ken Vaughn, formerly working with Michigan State University on the development side of things, now at Ohio State University doing his thing. Ken, before we get you out of here, as we have just 5 minutes left here in the show, I want to get a final score prediction on the big rivalry game tomorrow.
You know, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, man. You know, our defense is going to hold that run game. If they go over the top, it might look a little scary. Hopefully Otis was right and we get some of those people who were hurt back. But I'm leaning more towards 21-17, man. I don't know why that's coming to mind right now, but I'm leaning more towards that with Michigan State on top. You can't sleep on us, man. At the end of the day, man, we come out and we fight. You know, this game, people look at this game, they look at, you know, the big games, Ohio State, Penn State. Outside of last year with Ohio State, you know, everything has been close, you know, or in our favor. So you can't sleep on us, man. We show up at these type of games. We thrive on the games. Like you said, Mark D'Antonio will show up during these times where people are counting them out or putting them as the underdog. So, you know, I just like to wait and see, man. Like you said, let's get these guys lined up. Let's see that first kickoff, that first hit, that first snap on offense and defense, and let's see what happens.
All right, Ken. I know you'll be watching the game tomorrow. I can't wait for it. Ken, thank you so much for your time, my man.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
Always good chatting with Ken. Flint Town Zone, Ken Vaughn. Again, formerly of MSU Development, now at Ohio State University as the Director of Development there. All right, very cool stuff. Okay, We've got 4 minutes left to close out the week here on Current Sports. Let's go to our phone lines right now. You know who's calling. Ray from Indiana. Ray, final thoughts on the big game tomorrow.
Go Smarties! Beat the Bullies! The Bullies are coming to town. Bullies are coming to town. The Bullies are coming to town. I want you to rock it, Hawk. I want that crowd rocking. You got to play discipline. 5 turnovers to none last year. We can't have any turnovers. I want you to put it to the Bullies tomorrow.
Can you give us a score as well, Ray, before we get you out of here?
I'll take a 1-point Sparty victory.
Ray from Indiana, the one, the only. Ray, thank you so much for your time, my man. Thank you for calling throughout the week.
Go Sparties.
Connor, you wanna give a shot at that song? The Bullies are coming to town, aha.
No. I heard that yesterday. I heard it today. I think that's a one artist track right there.
Yeah, without a doubt. All right. Final thoughts or predictions. We got a whole host of voices behind the glass. I want a prediction from everybody behind the glass right now, starting with you, Connor. Real quick.
I'm going to go 24-21 Michigan State with a field goal as time expires.
Also, give me a player who has a big game.
I'm going to say Kari Willis has a huge game.
Kari Willis, good choice. Reigning defensive player of the year. Defensive player of the week, excuse me, last week. All right, Jack, who wins? And give me a big player.
Michigan State 21, Michigan 20, and just like last year's game, it'll be Joe Bocci and Kenny Willekes leading the way for the D.
Joe Bocci, Kenny Willekes, 1-point victory for the Spartans.
Yes, sir.
So Kyle Turk, who I assume will be at the game tomorrow covering things for Impact. All right, yep, he's giving me the heads up on that.
Calling the game.
You're calling actually, the yes. game, right? Oh, my goodness, you are calling the game. A lot of people forget that. Yeah, Impact, you guys have a new contract this year. It allows you to live broadcast the games.
If you have an alternative, 88.9 in the Lansing area, that's all we're going to say. We can't. We can only reach so far, but if you have the ability, of course.
That's great stuff. All right, Kyle, who you got in this game?
Unfortunately, Michigan 20, Michigan State 10.
Okay, all right.
I don't know what it is.
Who has a big game? Give me one player.
Ooh, I think the Michigan defense.
The Michigan defense overall, as a whole. Okay.
That's my one player.
Okay, all right, one player, right. All right, and Denise Spann is behind the glass, and we have 1 minute left. Denise, who are you going with? Give us a score and give me one player who has a big game.
24-21 Michigan State. And I know a lot of people suiting up this weekend, but I think Justin Lane's going to have a great game.
Justin Lane. And also Jack's homie, Sam, is behind the glass as well. We're going to let Sam give a score prediction. He's been hot behind the glass chilling. Sam, welcome to the show. You're officially family now. Give us a score and a player.
All right. I think this game goes either way. I'm going to say 20-17. It's going to be a field goal, whoever takes it.
Okay.
And I think first quarterback to throw an interception, that's going to be the loser of the game. That's going to be the loser right there.
There you go. All right, folks, enjoy the game. Keep it locked to Facebook at WKAR.org as well for post-game coverage. Be easy, people.